The Curve with Michelle Martin and Bernard Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
It is time for Influence. I'm Michelle Martin. Now in its 42nd year, the Singapore International Festival of the Arts is set to return this year from May 16th to June the 2nd. And what will it continue to champion in terms of Singapore art and international work? We're going to find out. I'm sitting across a woman who is an influential figure in the local art scene. She was part of the Singapore Grand Prix for 8 years as its Director of Operations. She has over a decade's worth of experience as festival director and regional ops director of one of my favorite festivals, WOMAD. And she steered it in Singapore, Sri Lanka, South Korea, even New Zealand. Joining us to tell us more about the local art scene, and we're going to get to know her a lot better as well in about 20 minutes. Sarah Martin, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Good to have you with us. We should clarify we're not related.
Yes, I think so.
All right, let's start. Sarah, you manage SIFA and the various arts platforms in Singapore, locations like the Arts House in Old Parliament Lane and Aliwell House as well, right?
Yeah. So I'm effectively the CEO of Arts House Limited, and we're a very unique proposition in the landscape. So we have three art centres, the Arts House at Old Parliament Lane, Aliwell Arts Centre as well as Goodman Arts Centre. But we also run the Victoria Theatre and the Drama Centre, and of course we're the organisers of SIFA. So our work is very multifaceted in the landscape.
Tell us a little bit about the appreciation of arts in Singapore. Has it been growing, and in terms of the people who appreciate art, has that demographic been changing?
I can only say my experiences upon returning to the arts. So I was with WOMAD for 10 years, and I was more or less with GP, and I took a bit of a side trip into sports for 10 years. And I've done a full-fledged return. And I must say the landscape has changed so much. You know, we have audiences that are no longer spectator audiences. Mm. You know, they're audiences that want to deep dive with us. They're keen on just doing more than watch a show. They want dialogue. They want discussion. They want to be involved. They want interactiveness. You know, and they're quite keen to see the latest of the latest. People are pushing boundaries. So I think the landscape has changed in terms of the taste of our audiences and what they expect and the behavior patterns also.
Who is art for?
I think art for, personally, I think art for is anybody, you know, because it helps shape either a person's cultural context, it helps shape a person's mindset, it helps shape how things are perceived. You know, it helps someone look at things with different lens.
Mm. And as you manage SIFA, how do you plan to increase outreach, keeping in mind that audiences these days are increasingly online with new media?
Well, we're very heartened because at the end of the day, with SIFA especially, you know, we had about 84% sales, which is very high. And we had about 60% of people who were first-timers to SIFA last year.
Mm.
All of this indicates that there is a hunger for being off the digital network. You know, while it is very strong, there's no two ways about it.
And people are heading to Facebook.
And people are heading to
Facebook. To watch parts of SIFA.
For sure. Mm. You know, and we do have Facebook Live and we cater for that. But the reality is there is still that audience base that actually appreciate the difference it does to a person and the impact it has when you go for a live performance or you go for a live talk.
So it sounds like the focus is still on bringing people to your live venues.
It is very much so. Because the delivery and impact it has on the person is very different.
So the Arts House Limited, you've said, has potential to become a massive intermediary for the art scene. You said this in an interview. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, our unique proposition is that we have venues, we have multiple platforms. With all our venues, we outreach to different people. So, for example, of course, with the Arts House, we're trying to build a literary centre with the hope of being the national literary centre. Now, this is a a gap in the landscape that is we're trying to fill. And it's a very timely point as well, because Singapore's passed its 50th year. There's a lot more reflection. There's a lot more need for dialogue. And there's a lot more writing done. There's a lot more publishing done. So the timeliness of an art centre that's dedicated to literary arts, it's a very good position for that particular art centre. The outreach then is very unique. Now, Aliwal Art Centre, we are targeted to the urban youth subcultures. Mm. The difference there is quite different. The outreach there is quite different. You know, for example, SIFA, the outreach is incredibly different. You know, we are very mindful that we have cycles with festival director. With each cycle, the outreach to via their programming and their tastes differ. And that's the beauty of having an evolutionary arts festival.
And you've also mentioned in previous media interviews, you'd like to see collaboration between the different art spaces. So while there are these plans for them to sort of go deep in a particular segment, you see room for synergy.
There is definitely room for synergy. I mean, that's the arts doesn't keep still. It never stands still. Life doesn't stand still, and art is a reflection of life. And that is always evolving. And this day and age, a lot of artists experimenting, and we are the vehicle in which they can experiment, either via our programming platforms or our venues, because within our collective, we have the largest range of rehearsal spaces, black boxes, and mid-sized performance spaces.
So you're very important for artists.
We're a support center for them.
Yes.
You know, and I think and that's the beauty of an artist getting on a journey with Arts House Limited.
We're getting to know the CEO of Arts House Limited. Her name is Sarah Martin. The Arts House manages the Singapore International Festival of the Arts, or SIFA, which this year returns from May 16th to June the 2nd. Sarah, you were festival director of WOMAD. That's where you started your career. How has that experience, you think, played into your steering of the arts today?
I think my experience with WOMAD as well as the Grand Prix has very much helped shape what I can deliver for Arts House Limited and for the Singapore International Festival of Arts. You know, with WOMAD, it was the construct was that you had to be festival director, you had to be the business director, you had to be the festival organizer. It wasn't a one-dimensional thing where you were merely the artistic director.
Mm.
So to have to juggle that has shaped the premise of the beginning premise of where I am and why I'm here.
Mm. And you've said that there was no rule book when it came to WOMAD and there building that brand.
There was no rule book because, you know, it was in a landscape where a lot of things were very new. You know, the landscape wasn't as busy as it is right now. Most of the activation was government-led activation. We were one of the few private festivals around with government support, but nevertheless still led by private hands.
It was very, very well received in Singapore, I remember.
Yes.
And people still remember it for the energy.
Correct. And
yeah,
that was the beauty of WOMAD. You know, it gave you a connection to that greater world.
Yeah.
It led, right now, people still talk about it because they talk about it with nostalgia. You know, they talk about it because they receive an experience base and a connection to that greater world out there through music and dance. And it was a celebration of differences.
Yeah, yeah. Even though the material wasn't necessarily familiar, this was world music we were talking about.
Yes.
And, you know, WOMAD went to Sri Lanka, South Korea, New Zealand. What did your time with WOMAD bring to you in terms of lessons for programming for diverse audiences?
One of the key things that you learn is when you're programming for diverse audiences is to understand the context of understanding the artistic context of what you're trying to do and trying to make the appropriate outreach to the appropriate community in question. You know, so for WOMAD, we were naturally had a very strong mandate, mm-hmm, whereby it was a celebration of cultural differences. It was about cultural education. It was about knowing about global cultures and to introduce it to people who otherwise would have no connection to it. And it was through the medium of music.
Yeah.
You know, now that was a very important lesson. Mm-hmm. But as I grew, even with the Grand Prix, we programmed between 6 to 10 stages at any one time. And it was catered to a diverse range of audiences where we had everything from your Maroon 5s, you know, Katy Perry's, down to your opera and your jazz. You know, and the whole point was to make sure that you're catering for a diversity of tastes. But you also learn the nuances of what is... what are certain standards? You know, what exactly, what is a deeper engagement? Why are you doing what you're doing? And I think with WOMAD or with the Grand Prix and with the Arts Festival, you always need to question, you know, what is the purpose of what you're doing, doing it for?
Mm.
You know, and then it does help you with the framing of what you're trying to do, and it helps you deliver what you need to do.
Help us understand who owns the Singapore International Festival of the Art. We know Gaurav Kripalani took over from Ong Keng Sen, who said he struggled with independence for that festival.
Mm.
How do you work with the festival director who owns SIFA?
I don't think anyone owns SIFA. It's a national arts festival. The country owns SIFA. You know, we are commissioned by the National Arts Council. They're the main commissioners. And each festival director has a curatorial freedom to deliver what their vision of the festival is. Now, in certain instances, there are sensitivities. And these sensitivities could be anything from cultural or religious sensitivities or even political sensitivities. In those cases, dialogue needs to be had with appropriate authorities. It's not so much lack of freedom, but it's the ability to navigate those dialogues. But invariably, what is delivered is the festival director's artistic vision.
Hmm. Okay, so tell us, listeners keen to find out what's in store for SIFA this year.
Well, we have a whole new range of artists. We launch on Monday, so I must say at 7:30, watch this space.
You're giving us a preview, thank you.
We have already launched 4 of the shows,
uh-huh.
You know, one of which is Dionysus, which is a personal favorite of mine because it's a complete cross-cultural work between Japan and Indonesia.
Mm.
And, you know, Suzuki is a very well-renowned theatre practitioner who created his own form and format.
Mm.
And it's a cross-cultural work on multiple levels. So I think the delivery of Dionysus in an Asian context is a very interesting one. You know, but we're also heartened by the fact that we've got multiple commissions that we're rolling out this year. You know, and we've already announced Huzair and Claire's work of the exploration of the plight of aid workers in the piece of displaced persons welcome dinner. You know, so I think one of the key things I'm excited about is the topical issues that's being raised at the festival this year.
Mm.
We will be launching on Monday at 7:30 the full lineup of SIFA. And that includes the engagement that we will have not only on the traditional theatre spaces, but the non-traditional spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, we have Festival House, whereby for 3 weeks of the Arts Festival, we will have talks, workshops, dialogues, mini performances. You get to meet all the directors that we have brought to the country, which is a very rare opportunity. You get to have dialogue sessions with academics on some of the themes that are behind the productions.
Mm.
Also, we've also created a pop-up cafe bar called House Paw, which was an experiment of last year, which we're keeping. Because at that point in time, we had impromptu jam sessions by musicians. We had lots of dialogue. Asian Dramatic Network had a lot of dialogue sessions there. We had people gathering there before and after the show or before and after talks, simply because there was slowly but surely that community of people that wanted to talk about the festival and they wanted to share their experience.
Yes.
There was a deliberation of making the festival into an intensive 3-week period because so that you, one, you block your day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, for 3 weeks in the month of May, that's your month. You do not travel and you block out all your dates. You basically curate your own journey through the festival and enjoy it. Simply enjoy it. Explore the best of Singapore and explore the best of what we have brought to the landscape.
So SIFA's really grown, and over the years, it's gained a lot of positive, glowing reviews in The Guardian, you know, overseas international media. And you've said you wanted to strengthen the festival's position on the international scene, sort of strengthen Singapore's position in the international arts landscape. What are moves in that direction?
One of the key things is the methodology of engagement with foreign artists. You know, I think Gaurav, our festival director, makes it a point to actually have a dialogue with the directors or choreographers behind the productions to get them excited about the Singapore landscape. When they come here and they present some of their seminal works or some of the key things that they think might resonate in this country, they also take away a lot of exchanges from the local context. They in turn become our ambassadors. And that's very heartening, you know, whereby we have received more than one occasion where people are heartened to come back and explore more things with this country.
So it's really about giving them a great experience at the Singapore International Festival of the Arts.
You know, and they also are very keen to see the audience responses.
Yeah.
You know, and they feed off that.
Sarah, tell us on a personal level, how did arts and management become your life? Did you plan it?
It depends. In some ways, I did. In some ways, I didn't. So I did a business degree, and I did a business degree at Curtin University in Australia. The entire time I was in Western Australia, I volunteered for every single arts event there was to volunteer for. And when I came back to Singapore, I was quite determined, and I announced it to my parents that I was going to be in the business side of the arts. Because I thought that was where my first passions led. I was not an artist, you know, but I was very keen and I had a great appreciation for what they did and the way I could contribute and the way I could feel I would be most useful with what I had learned at that point in time at a very tender age was to provide marketing and business skills and PR skills to the landscape. And I also was very cognizant of the fact that I was quite organized. I was very good at organizing people. I was very good at organizing ideas. I was very good at organizing brands.
Right.
And with that in mind, I came back and I did a series of projects. And by the time I was 23, 24, I had joined WOMAD in Singapore.
And here you are at 45, CEO of Arts House.
Yes.
Okay, so before we let you go, International Women's Day falls on March the 8th every year. We think of the arts as pretty diverse space. What do you say to a little girl or a woman out there who wants to leave her mark in the art scene?
I would say dream, because really, if you don't have a dream in the first instance, it will never become a reality. And to be quite honest, someone told me this, and I'm inspired by it. You know, life without dreams is like a broken winged bird that will never fly. Mm-hmm. And every little girl who becomes a woman should be flying.
I love that. That's a great way to end. Thank you so much for being here with us. She's Sarah Martin, CEO of Arts House Limited. You've been listening to Influence. I'm Michelle Martin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.